way to go.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen.
Subtle. No one even noticed.
Up next on the show, Matthew Paul Turner, author of When I Pray For You. Buddy, Matthew, was that not the best intro you've ever had in your life?
It might be the best.
Thank you.
I don't think I've ever been, you know, introed quite like that, man.
Thank you.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, it was a very subtle editing process there. Matthew Paul Turner has got this children. Actually, you're now known as like the Raffy of children's books. You're like the cat. You're like the new Cat Came Back guy.
I hope not quite like that, but yeah, no, dude, like it's been crazy. Like I'm on my third children's book that's been released, and I'm actually writing my fifth one.
What?
I mean, it's crazy. I had no plans to do a switch in the whole career thing or the writing career thing. And so, it's been really, really cool to see the response, and just I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you should. Did this kind of start because you started having offspring?
Well, yeah. And you know, when you start to kind of search for books, you know, as you're reading to your kids and you start to search for books that, yeah, you know, might mention God, and you find out that, man, I'm not a big fan of many of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found myself editing them in my head prior to saying them out loud and things like that. And so, like, writing was one of those things that I kind of did as a teenager. So it was the idea of me writing a children's book wasn't completely foreign. I just hadn't really considered it. And it was my wife who said, you know what, you should really take some time and try to do this. But here's the thing. Because I was not known for writing children's books, I was known for a blog called Jesus Needs CPR. After I wrote the first one, I got 11 no's from publishers. And it wasn't until after we released the book, self-published it, in 2014 or 15, I think 15. And after that, one of the publishers that had said no came back and said, okay, let's do it. And it's been crazy.
Yeah.
And fun.
Yeah, and fun. And well done, too, by the way. I consider myself a bit of a children's book snob. I'm a little elitist in some areas of my life. Okay, all areas, actually. it's a spiritual gift. And I like your stuff. I do. I overuse this word a bit, so I hesitate using it again, but the authenticity comes out. You're a real dude writing real words to real kids, and that's vastly different from some of the try-too-hard stuff that's out there for kids. So
sure, and I think that it's, you know, I really keep in mind my own kids as I'm doing this, and I think about what I want them to know and think about what, you know, what kind of messages will help them and not harm them, and what kind of messages will, you know, bring about a healthy relationship with God and not one they have to overcome or survive later.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You've been on my show twice before. Once as a God blogger, along with Tim Challies from the fifth level of hell called Calvinism.
Yeah. I forgot about that one. That was fun.
And then once you were on in 2015 for a pub crawl with Dr. John Stackhouse, and the two questions we asked you were, why do us humans continue to commit horrifying religious acts? And I think that might have come from, it was either one of John's posts or was that your post? Did you write, do you remember writing a blog about horrifying religious acts?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'm sure I did.
I mean, I've written about a lot of those things, but I'm not sure I've done a list.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I remember it being an interesting conversation because we talked about circumcision to sacrificing animals and humans to cannibalism to self-immolation, terrorism to mass manipulation. Like it was, and then we also talked about what's with the Americans and their God. And you guys and your God down there, you're weird people.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's partly because, I mean, there's such a comfort level in mixing politics and religion here. And, you know, there's a balancing act of which one actually is more important. And so, like, it is a constant, you know, we have a very messed up perspective on God. And then we also, you know, we're egotistical. And so, like, we think that our way is the way. It's a long-standing issue that Americans have. And, you know, when you think you're right about God, like, what stops you? What keeps you? What puts you, humbles you? I mean, it takes an act of God.
Yeah. Yep. Or a little book called When I Pray for You. That does humble you.
That was a subtle transition.
Thank you. So. Thank you very much. By the way, that last show you were on with it was 2015, you were also on that same show was Richard Rohr, and I know you're a fan of the Enneagram as well.
Yeah. I mean, it is one of those things that I have I've dabbled in it. It's one of those things that I'm certainly not an expert, but I've read a lot about it, and I know that I'm a four, and I it's funny that I definitely it nailed me. Like, I mean, you know, it's crazy when those kinds of things do that.
Yep. Yep. And as another four who's about to leave radio and start writing, I need you to pray for me because I can sit and I can think about writing a book for decades, but then writing it is a different story. So we'll see how that works.
Well, then, you know, once you like finish your show and you're starting to write, if you want to call me, you can do that.
Oh, buddy, that's where I was going. That's the only reason I had you on the show.
I'd be honored.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Is it possible that you would have received any criticism for this book? You know me, as a four, I want to go right to the dark side. I would imagine, like, we're going to have Brian McLaren up soon as well. He's just written a children's book as well, Corey and the Seventh Story. But so I got these two children's book dudes on here. I'm thinking, there's no way you can get hate mail for writing a children's book, can you?
Oh, you'd be surprised. I mean, I actually got I got an email this morning.
What?
That told me that I was... That I, like seriously, I had fallen for the God of this world, and that I was taking other people with me. So you'd be surprised. I mean, you know, because I think that some people pick up on the God that I write about in my children's book is, you know, one who delights in people, and one who like is affirming, and one who is—that's
disgusting.
one who wants to bring you joy, and you know, and not looking at you and trying to find out what's wrong with you all the time. So I mean, it's you know, and I think that when you have that perspective on God, of course, that you know, people can you know, find fault in it. However, I will say that it's like the criticism for these books, it's far less than anything I've ever written before. I get, you know, it's just funny. Like the mail I get now is like, sometimes I'm a little wigged out because I get some really nice letters. I mean, the letters that have come to me because of the first children's book so far. I mean, When God Made You. I mean, I've gotten letters that would make you cry just of how where this book has shown up and how it has been used in people's stories, and like it's blown me away. Like sometimes I have to like, you know, man, I don't know which kind of mail I'm more comfortable with, the complimentary kind or the critical kind.
No, well, as a four, you're more comfortable with the critical kind.
Probably, but it isn't that weird and sad and like, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of the thing where you get used to it. So.
Yeah. Well, let me just paint this picture, and I want this to be clear. This is a full-on endorsement. I want to tell you that this book, When I Pray for You by Matthew Paul Turner, is actually something that I want in my hands. And I'll tell you, this is how it went down. the publisher sent it to, I just moved recently, and they sent it to the old address, and so it got sent back. And I was like, where's the book? And they went, well, we sent it. Well, where'd you send it to? Send it. Ah, nuts. Well, so I didn't get it. I actually wrote and said, I want this book sent to me because I want to read this book to my grandkids. Most books, I mean 98% of the books that I interview the authors over, I don't give a holy grunt about getting them in my hands. This one, I want in my hands.
Well, if you haven't received it and you don't, you let me know and I will make sure you get it.
No, it's on its way. But I, you know, obviously I read the PDF and I went through the thing and looked at stuff and I just went, man, this is the kind of thing that every person who cares about a small child wants to wants to have, that moment where they're in your arms and you're reading this. And it's not only creating, you know what it is, man? It's like, it's helping to facilitate a thin place. Celts talked about that. C.S. Lewis talked about that. It just, the gap between the creator and that adult and child reading this book, that gap between the creator and the adult and child reading this book just gets really thin because of this book. So good on you is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, thank you. Like, you know, I have been blown away by how people have responded to just the simplicity of a children's book. I had no idea that a children's book really, that adults loved children's books with as much passion as children. And I just have been surprised and really overwhelmed in the best kind of way just to see how people have responded to it and, you know, the places it's shown up and the parents who have said, I have never like read a story about God to my children before, and I read your book to my kids. And I'm like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, dude, okay, just before we say goodbye, we're going to go into this How Can We Pray For You segment on the Drew Marshall Show. And even just when I say that, I feel weird about it because I don't want anyone tuning in thinking that it's an actual ministry show. The last thing I don't even know how to spell ministry. So,
minestrone.
Minestrone is what I meant.
That's it. Yes.
But over the 16 years of doing this show, every once in a while we open up the phone lines to ask if anyone could use the prayers of thousands. And so maybe this Easter it's you. You don't have to give your name. You just need to call this number and talk to me, and then our listeners will hear what you need prayer for. And maybe it's for yourself. That'd be bold. That'd be authentic. That'd be vulnerable. Or maybe it is for someone you actually love and care about who could use the prayers of thousands. I'm playing the odds here, Matthew. It's like, well, one person praying for you, you know, if it's a real good spiritual person, you know, maybe that's awesome. But it's me, and my prayers ain't going to do jack. So, but if I'm thinking if you got thousands of people praying for you, that maybe the, you know,
especially, especially if it's thousands of Canadians.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, like, yeah. You know, like I would totally love having thousands of Canadians praying for me. I think that's the most beautiful thing.
Because it would end in amen, eh?
I wasn't going to go there. That's your joke.
Okay. All right. But how can we pray for you, the listeners of the Drew Marshall Show, this Easter weekend? And I want to finish this interview with Matthew by asking you that question, dude. Right? You know I suck at praying. My prayers kind of go like this. God, I'm not even sure if you're there. And if you are there, I don't even know if you hear this stuff. But I'm bugged about something or I need something. Let me just tell you anyway, and because I hope you're there, and I hope you're good, and I hope you're listening, and I hope that maybe something could be done about this. And then, boom, I kind of go into it. So it's really awkward. That's how I pray. So, yeah. Matthew, how can thousands of the Drew Marshall Show listeners pray for you?
You know what? I have a dear friend who I don't want to mention their name, but I have a dear friend who is sick, and if you could just lift up my friend in prayer, I'd be gracious and very, very thankful. So.
You know, it's interesting. This goes right now. Hold on, Matthew. I go right to, why do I feel like I need more details in order to pray? Is that just the gossipy brain thing?
I don't gossip, but you know who knows.
No, I don't want to know their name, but it's like, well, wait a second. What do I say? Hey, Matthew, God, dear baby Jesus, Matthew has.
Well, would you say Matthew's friend is, you know, is in the hospital? Hey,
So do you want them fixed?
I mean, I would love them to be okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's pretty.
That's pretty smart. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, there's a reason why I'm not, like, I don't want him. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. This is good. All right. Well, let's wrap it up with you. The When I Pray for You video book trailer, that's actually the real reason I got you on the show. I have a crush on Amy Grant. Okay.
Who doesn't? I mean, like, you know, like, who hasn't had, like, I mean, had that crush? Like, she is just a brilliant, beautiful, giving, compassionate person. So I, like, yeah, it was an honor. It's like, for those of you who aren't in the know, but my book trailer for When I Pray for You was voiced by Amy, and she did such a great job. Like, I mean, dude, she put way more like energy and time into it than I ever anticipated, and like, it was just, she did it out of the kindness of her heart, and it ended up getting a million views. It's been crazy. So
yeah. Well, I emceed a charity function a couple of years ago, and Amy was the keynote speaker or whatever, and she is a cheeky monkey. She has got a little snap to her, boy. She put me in my place a couple of times.
But that's what isn't that the best?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, if she's going to, and you have to know that that's there, only because she's married to Vince Gill, and if you have any, if you followed his career at all, like, he is a sarcastic to no end and funny, and I mean, if you ever get to Nashville during the holiday season, you have to go see their Christmas show at the Ryman. It is like the epitome of Christmas. It has all the things that you would ever want, and it is just glorious to see them interact with each other, and to hear them sing, you know, songs about, you know, Christmas and also about the holiday. It's just, it's wonderful. Yeah. And it's like the spirit of Christmas is there. It's really cool. So definitely go see it.
All right. I'm just writing that down. Vince and Amy, yeah. Ryman Theater, Christmas. Okay, got it. All right, well, the website for this guy is MatthewPaulTurner.com, MatthewPaulTurner.com. Three times. I don't know how you made it on my show three stinking times, but you did.
I know, and I'm excited. I'm sad that you're going off the air, but I'm excited to see what happens afterwards.
Yeah, you and me both.
I'm curious if you want to contact me, either email me or text me or something, and we can talk after.
All right.
The
writing as a four. Got it. Dude, well done, Mr. Children's Book Guy who writes like faithy, spiritually stuff with kids and doesn't have this condescension, you know, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Like, there's a lot of children's books that you can smell the agenda behind them. And the agenda in your books, is love.
Yeah, it really, like, I hope that's what it is. That's my goal. Like, my goal is to not exclude anybody. That's my goal. I want all kids to feel loved and welcomed and valued by God.
Nice.
And that's what I hope the books do.
Happy Easter, Matthew Paul Turner.
Hey, happy Easter to you too.
Take care, dude.
Talk to you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Matthew Paul Turner on the Drew Marshall Show.